Allstate.com today.
Oil jumps 8.5%. Oh, yeah, you're feeling the pinch if you pulled up at the pumps across America. Why Libya's exploding. Muammar Gaddafi wants to cut everybody's head off. He's digging in and saying he's willing to be a martyr and spewing a bunch of nonsense. I think this is his just desserts that are now he's paying the price for things that he's done in the past, let's just say. So what happens to Libya? Tripoli has now become like a war zone, scaring a lot of people, especially those Americans trying to get out of there. Boy, do we have a lot to get to in this hour of America tonight. Kate Delaney's my name. Happy to have all of you on board, whether you're listening to us at WVMT in Vermont. Thank you very much. A big shout out to all of you or some of our other friends who are listening to us in other parts of the country like Connecticut or Illinois or Missouri. What a great state Missouri is. There's a lot of hidden things to do in that state. I'm sure this is a lot of places could say the same thing. If you could just take a tour where you had time, to go to the north and to the south and in a couple of different directions, you'd find some pretty interesting things in Missouri. So hello to all the Missourians listening to us and the Texans too, of course. Right at the top, let's talk about this and, you could pick your poison, and really it is poison, some of what's exploded in the world and in our own backyard. I don't see an end in sight to the revolts in the Middle East, by the way. And closer to home, they're just getting started. Two different reasons, I guess, in a sense. One's about freedoms and different people in charge, or to have more of a say in the government. Does sound familiar, though. The other about what's fair and what's not fair, like in Wisconsin or in Ohio or in Illinois. And what's not fair is when you live in a cool place like Christchurch in New Zealand. It's your little piece of heaven, your little slice of what is beautiful and divine, and very few people, I shouldn't say very few people, but a lot of people don't get the chance to see it. And sadly, a quake ripped apart too many people's lives. 300 or more missing. Imagine an earthquake ripping right through the heart of your little town or city right this very second. And it's just a question of if you survive or not, if you happen to be at the wrong place when the earth opened up, and looking at pictures and listening to the video. I mean, listening, hearing it is just sad, so creepy. You feel for these people. And a lot of people are sending aid, by the way, and help in trying to do the whole recovery thing, because they're still considering it a rescue mission, but that's going to change to recovery, to be sure, pretty shortly. Here's what the Assistant Secretary of State, did you know we had one? Of course we do. Kurt Campbell had to say when it comes to the quake in New Zealand.
Cracks in the ceiling, things flying, glass everywhere, thrown from your chair, you know, doing everything you can just to get on the floor. There are scores and scores of dead. The main cathedral collapsed. Huge numbers of people with blood on their faces walking down the street. It will go as one of the worst days, one of the most tragic days in New Zealand history.
Yeah, it certainly will be. And they're talking about now in the rebuilding of Christchurch, where the ground just moved, as it was described by some of the people who survived it but watched it unfold, like it was a wave, like they were riding a wave. But now the insurance losses from the quake are astronomical. I mean, talk about costly. J.P. Morgan is saying they've pegged it at this point at about $12 billion. $12 billion. So that would be the most expensive, and I didn't realize this, most expensive calamity since the $19.9 billion loss from Hurricane Ike. Ike hitting the U.S., remember, in 2008. 75 people, but that number climbing, it's just confirmed number, died, 300 missing. And September, there was a quake, 7.0 earthquake, that shook up that city and cost, at that point, $6 billion. The total on the life, the lives of the people, not the same, but buildings that are still standing probably are going to have to be torn down, because with the structural damage, how could you possibly assume that they're okay? I don't think so. They're going to have to probably revise even those numbers. And the New Zealand Prime Minister, you can tell, it's at times it's tough for him to even talk. His name's John Key. And they think the claims are just going to be, of course, through the ceiling. The first earthquake, they had 180,000. This time around, probably about 100,000. And some of the people that didn't feel anything or have any damage in the last earthquake, this time find themselves severely damaged. Severely damaged. So that has to be, I mean, that has to be rough. Catastrophes. Catastrophes snowballing on the people of Christ Church. And like I said, you look at any of the photographs or any of the reporting from there, and we talk about Libya being a war zone. In a different sense, in New Zealand, it was like a war zone. And it tugs, it does, it really tugs at you in watching these people who might have seen their wife or their husband or their daughter or their son for the last time. How tough is that? Yeah. Wow. All right. Send me your thoughts on what's happening with education in this country. Where do you think we should go? You see headlines like the one I read on the Drudge Report earlier in the day, that Michigan is ordering Detroit to close half of their public schools. Yeah. And they're not the only ones. The universities are dropping programs and assistant teachers and whatnot like a bad headache, just dropping it because they can't afford it. And I'll tell you what, this may be one of the toughest times to be in education, depending on where you live, what level you're teaching at, and how long you've been in the game. And forever and a day, that was one of those professions where you knew you always had a job and you had the summer off to do whatever or to teach. But now a lot of those teachers are going to be looking to get into other fields. We're kicking the can down the road. Hang with us.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
normal blood pressure naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Now folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Wow, can you believe what we've been seeing in Wisconsin? Power to the people, you know, because they've been out there to their credit in full force in Wisconsin, and they're not going to take what the governor is offering up, that budget repair bill that Governor Scott Walker has proposed, because he says, listen, we're drowning. What are we going to do? We got to come up with this money for this $137 million shortfall through June. We got to do something. So, you know, you look at collective bargaining units, and if we can slash what the state workers, what has to happen with the state workers, in other words, they got to pony up more for their pensions and the health insurance benefits, and also, you know, they can't have these dues deducted from the paychecks. Boy, that will help this budget. We have to do it because, you know, ultimately by 2013, we're talking, what, $3.6 billion budget gap. And that means thousands of layoffs. And now the governor, because people are not letting down on this, they're not laying down in Wisconsin, he's trying to say, on Tuesday he said, that, you know, we're questioning, some people are questioning why we've had to reform collective bargaining to balance this budget. And the answer is the system's broke, that it costs taxpayers serious dough, particularly at the local level. And then he tried to throw in, of course, his county experience when he was with the county. Anyway, somebody who's been right there front and center to watch all this is Robert Craig, who we had on the show before in Washington. We enjoyed our conversation with him, and he's back. He's the communications and program director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And, Robert, thanks so much for coming on again. We know it's late for you because you've been out there pounding the pavement, so to speak, and you also were going on Fox on Sean Hannity's show. So I guess at the top we'll ask you that. How did it go with Hannity?
Well, you know, it's a little bit hard to get word nudge-wise with the Fox host. So I got about as much of what I wanted to say out as I thought was possible. I didn't have that high in expectations. And you are, unfortunately, he has a gigantic viewership, so it was worth getting the message out. But it's not exactly a dialogue.
There you go. I like that. That was diplomatic. Okay, so tell us what it's been like for the past, you know, week and a half for you. I want you to take us back to the beginning. What was it like when all this started to happen? And I'm sure your phone was blowing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 8 days of protest. It started a couple of days before that. He announced this on a Friday, the past Friday, and I wanted to do all of this, I mean, sweeping away basically all union rights for public employees in the state of Wisconsin by the next Wednesday, so less than a week. And we got leaks about it Thursday night. In fact, we even had a press release out condemning what he did before his actual press conference the next morning. I'm not glad it actually happened, but at least we weren't wrong about what he was doing in the press release. And what happened really in a large degree, there'd been a run-up to this where he'd killed the high-speed train project, which is very unpopular. We were very involved in that. And then he'd also had a whole special session on the economy and jobs where there were no jobs in the special session, just corporate tax giveaways for the most part and other things on the wish list of the Chamber of Commerce in Wisconsin. And so but when he announced this and planned to ram it through so quickly, it was as if, and this happened very quickly, that people realized that the only thing they could do to possibly stop it is take to the streets. And he put people in such a corner, not just public employees, but a lot of people across the whole political spectrum in Wisconsin, that it caused this amazing movement, which is the most amazing kind of act of democracy that I've seen in Wisconsin politics. Obviously, you'd have to go back decades and decades to have anything like this.
Yeah, and what's it been like? Because you've been there in the crowds. What's that been like?
Well, the crowds are not only very peaceful, they're exuberant. They're very, there's chanting, there's kill this bill is the most dominant, refrain, but there's all sorts of creative signs, bongo drums. It's inside the Capitol, it's outside. If it wasn't so serious, it feels a little bit like a street festival, especially with all of the free brats being served up by the by the building trades unions. And there's so many different people across the country have contributed to the pizza places around the Capitol Square in Madison. They're just offering up free pizza because people have sent in so much money they can't make enough pizza, quite frankly, to cover it all. So it's been unbelievable, and everyone has been worried, you know, is it going to continue the next day and it gets bigger and bigger? And it was over 70,000 people on Saturday, and it was today there were fears that the teachers have been forced to go back in because they might lose their jobs taking 2 days sick days, and it was still huge today, even with a lot of people having to go back to work.
Yeah, and what they're saying is what I've heard, and you can tell me more about this, I guess, that the Republicans are saying that they're going to withhold the Democrats who bolted. They're going to just withhold their pay and just force this whole thing to come to a head because it's really escalating, obviously, this whole fight over the unions. Do you think that we're going to see them come back now?
Well, I mean, that's pretty, as you know, a pretty petty move on their part. You know, they're saying that if you miss three sessions in a row, I believe that you won't get direct deposit. You have to come in personally. Their staff can't even come in to get their checks. So they're hoping that these senators don't have enough money in there to pay their bills and their bank accounts. I don't think that's going to bring them back right away. Governor Walker has provided no room for compromise or discussion whatsoever, and has refused even to discuss with the unions or the Senate Democrats budging on his move to essentially eliminate public employee unions and make over 200,000 people in the state of Wisconsin non-union. I don't know how long they can stay out of the state, but I don't think they're coming back soon because Walker has been so unwilling to even talk about any kind of accommodation.
Yeah, what do you think ultimately, because, you know, the flip side of this is, and you know this was everyone's arguing about, well, why can't they just pay more? I mean, look, you know, Robert, everybody else has to pay more, so that's the argument. You heard me say that in the setup. What the governor is saying is, look, hey, we're broke. What do you want me to do? We're going to have these massive layoffs. So what's the alternative? What are people saying? Listen, there's other things that can be done here. That's what I'm assuming is starting to bubble up in the conversations.
Yeah, and it's important to realize that even though Governor Walker has tried to say this is just about benefits, the unions have already conceded on the point of a much larger payment for health care, over 12%, and a 5% pension payment. So that is off the table because the public employee unions have agreed, even though it's going to be painful to a lot of their members, to accept that. Mm. So the major sticking point now is whether or not you're essentially going to eliminate public employee unions. And I had to talk about this with Hannity, but they want to try, and our Speaker of the House tried to make it sound like they were not really taking away the right to have a union. They are actually doing that. And in some cases, a number of different sectors, they're outlawing the unions altogether, like University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinic, for example, home care and child care workers. For all the others, your teachers, your local school employees and local employees and then state employees, they set up a set of barriers so high that a union couldn't survive. So it doesn't technically outlaw them, but it makes them impossible. And so what Senator Miller, the minority leader, said that was leading the 14 Democrats, who are now called the Fabulous 14 or the Fab 14, and there are signs printed up in the rallies by all the protesters. But he's saying that we won't come back unless you will not essentially eliminate public employee unions altogether. And Walker is saying that that is off the table. And the reason it's off the table is he wants to give local government flexibility. So what he's really saying is he expects there to be even further cuts in salary, health care, benefits for teachers and other local employees, and that he wants to give them that flexibility. What's partly going on here is in his budget, which he moved back a week, it was supposed to be announced today, it'll be announced next Tuesday, he is obviously going to have draconian cuts to local governments, and he's going to justify those by saying you'll have more flexibility because you won't have unions. So he needs the one to get the other. There's already been a leak that he's going to cut $1 billion out of education, $500 per child, which is just awful. And his expectation is you just take that out of the hides of teachers, basically, is what he's going to be saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot. I think there's going to be more protests, obviously, and there's going to be a lot of blowback on this. Interesting stuff. Robert Craig, once again, Communications and Program Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you again, and good luck with everything.
Thanks, Kate. Great to be on.
Thanks. We appreciate that. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to do a little Oscar talk, believe it or not. Yeah. And we're going to talk about a picture that really made some men uncomfortable. What movie would that be?
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's health care one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793, call 877-747-2793, or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach, who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Tonight, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. Each and every Tuesday, we talk to our pal Stephen Shohet in Hollywood. And boy, there's a lot of things happening there because everybody who's anyone is in town staying at all the she places. I bet it's tough to get probably a table at some of the top restaurants. Everybody flies in and they spend at least a couple of days in Los Angeles. So certainly all the people that are on the ballots for the Oscars are there, and then the entourages, I believe, along with them as well. Stephen, is it kind of having that air, that buzz, that something big is happening?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. I'll tell you, Kate, so many places are for lease around here. You drive through Beverly Hills and the Melrose area and the Hollywood area. It's Sunset Strip. It's just really been a little bit depressed here. And so they definitely need some spending going on. Of course, these films, some of them that are nominated, like The King's Speech, are independent films, not studio films. So I don't know if you have the biggest stars with the biggest entourages throwing money around. I don't think Jeffrey Rush and Colin Firth are exactly like that. He, you know, I think he plays the king in real life, but in real life, I don't think he behaves that way and spends that way. And you know, it's just interesting with the salaries going down in movies, how that affects, like the agencies get less money, they lay people off. You know, it's just have a cumulative effect when the Hollywood studios are making less movies. So it's definitely a shot in the arm, but it's been kind of rough around here lately overall.
So far cry from what it used to be, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, there's less movies in the marketplace. Studios are spending less. To make a comparison, Bradley Cooper's getting $5 million for The Hangover 2, and that's great money, but Cameron Diaz got $20 million for Charlie's Angels 2 a few years back. Chris Tucker got $20 million for Rush Hour 2 and Rush Hour 3. When it was a star-driven industry back in the 90s, you had movies like Conspiracy Theory, where Mel Gibson got $20 million, Julia Roberts got $12 million, Patrick Stewart got $5 million. So they're spending $37 million before the show even starts. Now that's not happening now. Now, is that good for the studios and their bottom line? Probably. Is it good for the economy overall? Probably not. So I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's have some fun with this. Let's dive in and talk about the Oscars and make some picks. I did my picks because I knew you were coming on, and you certainly would have yours. And everybody always talks about, I know we're kind of starting with the big one, and normally this is the last thing you see on the show, one of the last things, but for the Oscars for 2011, for Best Picture, you have Black Swan, The Kids Are All Right, The Social Network, Winter's Bone, The Fighter, The King's Speech, of course, Toy Story 3, Inception, 127 Hours, and True Grit. I picked the layup one, Stephen, The King's Speech. Harvey Weinstein is back. It's the indie, as you said, that's really captured the imagination of a lot of people, and I think The King's Speech gets it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what to add to what you just said. It won the Directors Guild, the Screen Actors Guild, so obviously people in the industry are voting for it. I think Harvey might have sewn up the deal when he came out with the story that Queen Elizabeth saw it and approved, even though there's no director quote from Queen Elizabeth. But I think it would be very surprising if it didn't win, although I have to say I love The Fighter. I wouldn't be unhappy if that movie won.
Yeah, there you go. I would have to agree with you on that one, too. All right, Best Director. Who do you think gets this? The guy who did Black Swan? Do you think David Fincher gets it from The Social Network? That's what he directed. David O. Russell gets it for The Fighter. You like The Fighter. Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit. Hopper for The King's Speech. Who do you think gets it?
Yeah, Tom, I'd like to see Tom Hooper win it. I'm a fan of his. I really enjoyed the John Adams miniseries that he directed. But I think they're going to give it to David Fincher just to throw the Social Network a bone, since it probably won't win Best Picture. And it's so many critics love that movie. I think Fincher's going to win. But I'd really like to see Tom Hooper win it. But again, if the Coen brothers win it, that would be great. That True Grit, I have to tell you, to me that movie was like one of the best depictions of how I imagine the Old West to be. And the set decoration and set design, and the faces of some of the side characters, they actually look like they were people out of pictures you see of the Old West. And I thought it was very effective. So I wouldn't mind that, but I'll go with Fincher.
All right, I went with Fincher, too. That's interesting, and I thought the same thing, throwing them a bone, so I liked your analogy of that. Best Actress, Annette Bening, The Kids Are All Right. I really like that movie. Natalie Portman, Black Swan, people are talking about her. Nicole Kidman, Rabbit Hole, haven't even seen it. Michelle Williams, Blue Valentine, I thought that was good. Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone. Who do you think gets this one?
I'll go out on a limb and say Annette Bening. You know, Natalie Portman's been the favorite, and I could very easily be wrong about that. I thought Natalie Portman said something really interesting, that if she would have known what a horrifying movie The Black Swan turned out to be, she would have given an entirely different performance. Maybe. Ooh. She said maybe. She left that. And, you know, I always find that so interesting. It reminds me of the story of the movie Bridge on the River Kwai. One of the actors in it, a silent film star, Seizui Hayakawa, his character died at the end of the film. So they were doing the scene, and Hayakawa didn't do anything when the camera rolled, and David Lean said, Seizui, get up and follow Alec Guinness. And Seizui said, follow? And he said, yeah, this is the time for your character to die. And he said, I die? And it turned out that he had only read his own dialogue. He hadn't paid attention to the rest of the script. In fact, he had ripped out the pages where he wasn't speaking. And so he had no idea that his character was going to die, and he looked totally bewildered on camera, and he ended up getting an Oscar nomination.
Didn't
win,
how about
but got
that?
The nomination. Yeah,
yeah.
So, that Natalie Portman didn't know the story that she was in, I find that fascinating. Now, whether or not that revelation will be enough to cost her the Oscar, if it'll influence the voting, I don't know. But I'm not really rooting, but I'll pick Annette Bening to win.
All right, there you go. I picked Portman because she was the odds-on favorite, but I loved Annette Bening.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset. Best actor, Javier Bardem. Oh, I love this guy. I haven't seen this movie. I heard it's tremendous. Colin Firth, of course, The King's Speech. Everybody's talking about him. He's almost the shoe-in. Jeff Bridges, True Grit. He was fabulous in that. James Franco was great in 127 Hours. Jesse Eisenberg, The Social Network. Who do you like in this one?
Lay up Colin Firth.
Yeah, enough said. How about Best Supporting Actress? Amy Adams, you like The Fighter. Also, Haley Steinfeld of True Grit, the young girl. She was great in that. Carter, Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech. Melissa Leo, who was definitely lobbying for this, you could say. The Fighter, Jackie Weaver. I haven't seen this. Animal Kingdom, who do you like here?
I'll go on a limb and say Haley, but Melissa Leo has been the favorite for a while, but I guess it's rubbing people the wrong way that she took out her own ads. That happened with Chill Wills back in the movie The Alamo in 1960. He took out his own ads, and he said, you know, I hope all my cousins will vote for me or something like that. And Groucho Marx said, well, you know, I'm glad to be related for you, but I voted for Sal Mineo. So, I don't know. I don't know if taking out your own ads is the best idea. Certainly people are commenting about it. But,
yeah.
I, Haley, she carried that movie. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, it's funny that it's just Haley should really be best actress and Jeff Bridges should be best supporting actor. But because of their standing in Hollywood, since it's Haley's first movie, that's why she's best supporting actress. So, I hope she wins.
Yeah, I thought she was brilliant in it. Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale, Fighter, great. Jeremy Renner, I love him. I like The Town. Jeffrey Rush, The King's Speech, you would think he would be the shoe-in. John Hawks, Winner's Bone, I haven't seen it. Mark Ruffalo, The Kids Are All Right. What do you think?
I like them all, but I'm going with Christian Bale. I thought he was tremendous, especially at the end of the movie where you see the real Dickie Ward, and you see Christian Bale really captured that. And it's interesting because Christian Bale really played straight man to Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, and he really gave the low-key performance. Now you have Mark Wahlberg sort of playing straight man to Christian Bale in The Fighter. And Christian Bale was saying that Mark Wahlberg deserves a lot of the credit for my performance because you need that low-key performance to anchor you when you give the off-the-wall, go-for-it, a wild-type character that I played. So I'm going to go with Christian Bale.
All right, will you be watching the Oscars at your house? Do you get together with friends or you just hang solo?
I don't know yet. I might watch it with my family. We'll have to see what's going on. I mean, I might have to work, so, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, we know how that is. All right, thanks so much. As always, we enjoyed it. Steven, tell everyone about your blog. Where can they go?
Yeah, my book is called Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. There's a whole chapter of the about the Oscars and tons of stuff. And the website's HollywoodStories.com. One word, HollywoodStories.com. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies.
Yeah, it's terrific. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks. And
Thank you, Kate.
We'll see what happened, who won the Oscars, and how close we came as we circled all the votes. Stay with us.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
How much is one player worth to a team? St. Louis slugger Albert Pujols asking for a contract that would make him the highest paid player in baseball history. But is he worth it? We'll tackle that question next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Tollhouse Morsels, helping you create special moments and memories your family will cherish forever. Visit us at tollhouse.com. You may bake for birthdays and holidays, but why stop there? Sweeten up the rest of the year by designating monthly dessert days. Treat your family to one of their favorites or surprise them with something new. Either way, you'll create a tradition everyone will love. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Albert Pujols is undeniably the best hitter in baseball, averaging 156 games this season. He's durable. He has the right kind of leather at first base. He's one of the best defensive guys at the spot. If the measuring stick is cash, which it is in baseball and other pro sports, then Pujols should get a truckload of money. He wants a 10-year deal for $300 million. Last, the Cardinals supposedly offered slightly less than $200 million. As any actuary will tell you, the real problem might be his age. Now at 31, nobody can answer the question as to how durable he'll be after the age of 35. You could say in a game that depends on numbers, the clock is ticking. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Into that direction, and a lot of them are in the Middle East. Libya, it's a nightmare what's happening there. Muammar Gaddafi vowing that he'll execute anyone, any of these protesters going up against him and saying that the rats have influenced the crowd and he'll die like a martyr if he has to in Libya. The troops are actually out there. You think of the demonstrators and the push that's been on. And when I say the troops are out there with the demonstrators, guess what? They're handing out weapons to the people who are demonstrating. And I'll tell you what, the reports are, it is absolutely like a war zone. This may be the worst of the worst. So what happens? The Middle East in a massive turnover. I'll say it again, if you're keeping score, Tunisia, Egypt, we all know this, Libya, what's next? There's a whole lot of change in the air. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? What are the relationships going to be like with the international community? Who knows? The military in all these places is taking over. That's what's happening. Couple of other things. Boy, a lot has happened. Sliding from Libya for a second, and I think just desserts, by the way, for a madman who deserves it after the whole Pan Am thing. And nothing made me more furious than a year ago talking about Gaddafi, of course, coming to the U.S. and setting up his Bedouin tent and trying to find a place to stay, and nobody would have him, of course, in New York and Connecticut when he was making the trip to the U.N. So sad, sad things emerging from New Zealand. How can we not talk about this right from the get-go? I mean, the searches are desperate. I couldn't possibly presume to paint the pictures of the chaos and the mayhem that has ensued in the last 2 days, but it's been awful. 75 dead now at this point, but here's the key. It's like I was mentioning when it first happened, 300 people are missing. There's always a miracle, though. And the miracle was this woman who was pulled alive after 24 hours after the earthquake hit. Somehow, miraculously, she was saved. And Christchurch is a mess. It's done. It's gone. And you had people with their bare hands digging. We've seen this before. They brought in the heavy machines, trying desperately to find people because, let's face it, the buildings became pancakes. I mean, devastating. 6.3 quake. I'll re-rack it for you in case you haven't heard this story. You just tune in. You're like, what is she talking about? It happened the other day, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Busy area, a lot of people moving around. In fact, one of the city's tallest buildings, a hotel, the 27-floor hotel, the Grand Chancellor, was in danger of collapsing afterwards. You had a corner of the building, one corner of it, that sunk into the ground. It was a little bit lower, and you could see that it was buckling. And this is what was happening afterwards. And people were watching and trying to get people out of places where they thought, oh, my God, that place is going to fall to the ground. this is the aftermath of an earthquake, and people just in a daze trying to wrap their mind around this is happening again. This is less than 6 months. And boy, the economic impact on these people, the economic impact, you know what the J.P. Morgan is pegging it at? $12 billion. $12 billion. And, you know, who knows? And Christchurch is supposed to host the Rugby World Cup matches later on this year. The country will try to rebuild again. That's what are we going to do? But how do you afford that after the second time around, especially when it hit so many people and so many buildings? And that's the sad, sad thing. You have this search where people are looking for their girlfriend, their wife, their brother, you know, you get it, the family relationships, the friends. And when you have that many people missing, you have a sick feeling in your stomach. You might not see them again. And so you can hear the wails of the people when you watch any of the coverage of it. I think there's some people in Chicago who would like to wail. We've got to tell you about this story. In the midst of everything that's happening with the protests in Wisconsin and Indiana and Ohio over education cuts and teachers and their unions being slashed as far as collective bargaining agreements and how do they move forward in the future and all that sort of stuff, in the middle of all of that in the Midwest, Rahm Emanuel wins the Chicago mayoral race. Yeah. It's this little teeny headline that's going to get bigger, I think, as people start to realize it. So Mayor Richard Daley was in office for 6 terms. Now Rahm Carpetbagger Emanuel is the mayor of Chicago. And some people might take issue with that and say, well, listen, you know what? Other people have done that. Somebody called the show and said, look, he's the wingman for the president. He went to Washington to help the president. But this is where the rules get fuzzy. Do you think that would work for any of us if I decided to go and run for the mayor of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where I'm from, but yet I live nowhere near Cherry Hill and I don't have a residence there? Well, kind of, because I got a family residence. I might be able to fudge it. Anyway, here's the deal. He's in, and all of the rivals fell pretty easily. So now Rahm Emanuel is in charge of the third biggest city in the U.S. 97% of the precincts reporting he trounced everybody who ran with 55% of the vote. Are you surprised? There's my question to you. He said it's humbling. It's very humbling. And the president called to send good wishes and thoughts to Rahm Emanuel and said in a statement that his victory is well-deserved and he couldn't be prouder of his fellow Chicagoan and friend. I'm laughing because the rules are just different in Chicago. Politics are a whole different deal, aren't they? If you have any thoughts on the show, please send them to me, americatonight.net.